Praise God, the King of Glory. We are grateful for the opportunity that God has given us through the gospel to return back to that lost glory. See, God is giving every man the opportunity to rule and to reign freely in life, so that the totality of God, His kingdom, His glory and everything, it can also be ours. It's also ours as we accept this invitation into life. Praise God. You see, we know that the nature of God is very different from the nature of man. God gives freely to anybody that comes and asks. God does not peep to look at your nature, what you do and what you don't do. He's not out there trying to scrutinize you and to judge you or whatever. The realm of God is free for every man to enter in and partake of freely. Every single man. It's not a way of Christian, it's not a way of Muslim, it's not a way of Buddha, it's not a way of free age. See it. God is love and love simply gives. See, but the problem now is that most people are not able to receive this love because they simply try to hold on to their own life. As natural men, and at the same time, they want to partake of the life of God. This, you know, the old adage says that you want to eat your cake and have it. So you want to hold on to your own life and at the same time have partake of the life that is of God. So, but what we should know that flesh and blood cannot partake of that glory of God. You cannot even approach God as a natural man. Herein lies the problem, the dilemma. As men, we have been so attached to our human identities and at times we fail to realize that that life that we have as men is just like a vapor that appears for a moment, after which it is gone forever. Meaning that the life that we have as men is just an illusion. It looks real. See, there's a tendency in the inner part of man to think that, you know, he will live forever. Man is very boastful. Just look at the psalmist. Is it Psalm 49? Says the inner thought of a man is that he will live forever. That's the thought of every man. They think that they are gods in their mortal natural states, but they fail to see through the eyes of understanding that the problem that they have, that life of that limited life of sorrow, pain, and hurt, and all that, is due to the fact that they have reduced themselves to mere mortals. Praise God. So you see, we are, God is giving us the opportunity right now to ascend on the wings of grace back into His glory. And when you talk of glory, we're talking of the totality of God's glory. John the Baptist says, I must decrease and He must increase. He must increase. He must increase. Christ must increase. Hallelujah. The eternal one must increase. The invisible one must increase. The spirit must increase. And I, that entity born of a woman, I, flesh and blood, must decrease and disappear into nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because when the Lord appears, the Lord who is our life appears, I, the the lowly mortal disappears. Praise God. So let God arise in us and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. The other day we were, you know, fellowshipping together, and the Lord showed a vision to our sister here. You know, about marriage. She saw the bride and the bridegroom clothed in white in marriage. And of course, the Lord has showed our sister this vision several times. At times, the Lord shows rings, at times, wedding cakes, at times, the white, glowing, glittering wedding gowns. And I just said, let us just touch a bit on this subject in a series of messages. Bear in mind that marriage is a topic that is very, very wide and very big. But let us go straight to the point. See, if we must understand what marriage is from God's perspective. Praise God. We must understand what marriage is from God's perspective. See, if you understand what marriage is, you understand what fornication is. You will understand what adultery is. See, because the world is classified as, you know, an entity of fornicators and adulterers. But why? Hallelujah, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'll just start off by reminding us of certain things that is very, very fundamental. See it. And that is the Lord. See it. The Lord. The Lord God. The Son of God. The Christ. The Alpha and the Omega. The Anointed One. Call him whatever you want to call him. The Lord is Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Paul says it in his letter to the 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Are you listening here? The Lord is what? Is Spirit. The Lord is an entity that is purely invisible and is not of this material world. It's of another higher dimension. Hallelujah. And we must understand that we are all one with that eternal Spirit of God. That is the truth that can never, never, never be taken away from us. We are all one with what? The eternal Spirit of God. We are one body eternally. Hallelujah. Did you hear that word? One body. That oneness is achieved through what is spiritually called marriage. The Bible says that the two shall become one. Now that is marriage that is already mentioned right from the beginning in the book of Genesis. The two shall become one speaks about marriage. And we must understand that our union with the Lord is termed marriage from the eyes of God. And that is the marriage that endures forever. Mark this word today. See, that is the what they call marriage from God's perspective. Marriage is our union with Christ, our eternal union with Christ. Of course, we live in a world where people live in parables. In parables, Jesus Christ says that those who are without see all things what? In parables. They hear all things in parables. Meaning that men just live in relation to parables. They don't live in relation to things that are real. Praise God. God is revealing today this marriage that we have with Christ. Because understanding this marriage and entering back into this marriage, of course, because this marriage was broken in Adam, this marriage that we had with Christ has been severed, put asunder. The transgression of Adam, the knowledge of this world, the wisdom of this age has put asunder that marriage we have with Christ. What God has joined together, let no man. Now, when you talk of man in the sense here, man here, he's not just talking about, you know, man in this sense talks is a spirit, it's the spirit of this world, it's Satan. Is the devil, that's the serpent in the garden. See, the work of the serpent is to do what? Put asunder that union that we have with Christ from the foundation of the world. What God has joined together, God has made us one with the eternal spirit of God. But how many people are aware of this today? How many people are aware of the fact that they are one spirit with God? How many are aware of the fact that they are one spirit with Christ? How many? All these things have been hidden from us through the wisdom and the darkness that is in this present age that we live in. From the moment we are born into this world, the putting asunder started. The wisdom of this age, from your parents, from your teachers, from all the information that litters the atmosphere, comes to put asunder in your mind, in your consciousness, the reality of your oneness in the spirit. And you lose out on everything that is God's kingdom, for the kingdom of this age, this world, where there is tribulation, limitation, pain, sorrow, anguish of soul, hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the realm that men inhabit. So try to gather unto yourself as much money as you can, or as much fame as you can, or as much glory as you can. In this realm of outer darkness, you will discover that you will never get satisfaction. Praise God. Paul says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Are you listening? The Lord is the spirit. And we are joined to the Lord, who is the spirit. So we are what? One spirit. Now he's talking here about marriage. That joining to the Lord is marriage. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with the Lord. You are seeing here marriage. We all, universally, are married eternally to that one spirit. See, but men have lost awareness of this secret. That's why we see wars, confusions, concepts and concepts of religion and ideas, and see a realm of confusion, Babylon, because men have lost awareness of this union with the Spirit. Praise God. But by the grace of God, it is coming to us again as a mystery. See, mystery is something that is unknown. Something that was previously unknown, hidden from our understanding, but is being brought to light right now through the gospel. Paul talks, says that I would, you know, speaks about a mystery. While speaking about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 32, he says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." See, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, Paul was wise here. Paul understood that that perfect marriage can only be fulfilled. That perfect marriage model can only be fulfilled in that mysterious marriage between Christ and the church. Praise God. There's a time when you begin to walk in single-mindedly with a single eye. And when you walk with a single eye, you begin to see all things the way God sees them, no more as a man. See, we have to elevate, hallelujah, arise from the dust, arise from being mere mortals, ascend, and put on our robes of divinity. Begin to think like God thinks. Put on the mind of Christ. No more the mind of men who see things only after the natural. But begin to understand the mind of God and live by the mind of God. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Eternal life. It's peace. And we're going to see that shortly. Let's just go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior, and is the Savior of the body." Praise God. Are you listening? The husband is the what? The head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, Paul, first of all, gives us an example, because we know that when you look into the natural, isn't it? When you look into the natural realm, you can already have an insight, an understanding into the mind of God. So, Paul starts off here with the natural, isn't it? He says the husband is the head of the wife. Now he's looking at the model of men. Then he now goes to the spiritual. And he says, just as Christ is what? The head of the church. Now what does he mean, the head of the church? Or the head of the wife? That means when a woman marries a man, she no more has a head of her own. When a woman marries a man, she loses her head. The husband's head now becomes her head. She just becomes submissive totally to the husband. And we can see that this thing cannot be fulfilled in this natural realm. You agree with me? In this natural realm, there's no way a woman can lose her head totally And you know, the husband becomes the head. It's not possible in this natural realm. Otherwise, the woman will become like a dummy. See, the husband says, you go here, you go there, you go there. You see, and you know, in many parts of the world, people use this religion, this kind of scriptures to put women in bondage. See, but this particular model is only applicable or reality fulfilled in the spiritual model of marriage. Because Christ is our head. We who are married to Christ lose our own natural heads as men, isn't it? And we are married to Christ so that we have now the mind of what? Christ. The head is the Christ, is the mind. We begin to see things from the perspective of what? Of Christ. We begin to hear things from the perspective of Christ. He becomes our head. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, when John saw the 144,000 upon Mount Zion, they were virgins who follow the lamp wherever it goes. You see, the lamp is their head. Of the lamp is the seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God. It's the celestial wisdom, celestial insight of God upon the lamp, which is Christ. And these virgins who are actually to be married to the lamp, reading from Revelation, I'm speaking here, Revelation, the early verses of Revelation chapter 14. These virgins, 144,000, who are no more fornicators, they divorce themselves for this world, they follow the lamp wherever it goes. Why? Because they are to be married to the lamp. Hallelujah. They don't follow their own understanding or their own reasoning, but rather they follow the lamp wherever it goes. The lamp is their head. In other words, we have to submit to the mind of Christ. We have to submit to our head, which is Christ. When we begin to submit to our head, we lose all sense of our belonging to this natural world because it's not of this world. Praise God. We have to submit our head. See, the moment we do not submit to the head, which is Christ, the Spirit, and we submit to another head, which is the head of the serpent, which is the devil, which is the natural mind, what happens is that we lose our innocence and we become corrupted with the corruption that is in this world. Hallelujah. Now, you see, Adam, Eve, Garden of Eden, you see, we make references to these things a lot because there's no place that you see in such completeness and details the mystery of our fellowship in Christ. It's all there in the book of Genesis chapter 1. So from time to time, I always go to these scriptures because the enlightened people, they are very, very precious scriptures. Hallelujah. You can bring out volumes and volumes of books and sermons just on the Garden of Eden. So let's move on. Praise God. So you see, when Adam was reigning in the garden, he was actually, we're talking here now, in relation to the marriage. While they were there in the garden, they were all actually under the submit. They were submitted to that head, which is Christ. He was working as a spiritual man, because Christ is the Spirit. The head of Christ is the Spirit, is a spiritual mind. He was working in the Spirit, until he was deceived by the influence of this world, which is man, the systems of men, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou knowest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. Now, what are the things of that be of men? It's of this natural world. The things that be of men, the things of this natural world, this temporal world. See, the man's mind is focused on this temporal age, isn't it? The deceitfulness of riches, this world that he lives in. He thinks he can gain these glories of this world unto himself. See it? His treasures are here upon the earth. See, but they neglect the source of life, which is Christ the Spirit. Praise God. So you see, God wants us to submit back to that head, which is Christ. It means that we have to spiritualize ourselves. See, we have to connect back to the head, which is the Christ. This is the marriage that we are speaking of. The two shall become one. One spirit. No more two, but one. Hallelujah. You notice, even in the Gospels, you notice that Jesus Christ is referred to as the bridegroom. Isn't it? You see in the book of Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ gave several parables on marriage. And I tell you that when Jesus Christ gave this marriage, he was not trying to, he didn't come to, how do I put it, to teach about earthly marriage, but rather he came to reveal that marriage that was lost from the foundation of the world. This is the way we can enter into life. This is the marriage that endures forever. Hallelujah. Some years back, I was at a little seminar on marriage. And when I opened my Bible to preach on marriage, they almost stoned me, and you know, they protested loudly against me that what am I talking about? Because I was there to preach about the marriage that is known in God's kingdom. I was there to preach about the marriage that is known of God. But they expected me to start preaching about marriage, marriage of men. You know what I mean? Seminar upon seminar on how to become successful marriages. You know? You have people who open offices to as counselors for marriages. Hallelujah. But I tell you, if husband and wife can know the mystery of that fellowship, that marriage that we had in Christ from the foundation of the world, you will discover that there is no need for a counselor. Nobody needs to counsel you on marriage if you are connected to that original marriage that is known of God. Praise God. Because you become a creature of love. Hallelujah. You begin to have true mutual love and respect for your companion when you walk in that original marriage. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you notice in the natural marriage that is in this world, when a man marries a woman, normally what happens is that the woman loses her name, isn't it? Don't she lose her name? To put on the name of the man. Have you heard of the new name? Several places in the book of Revelation talks about, I will give you a new name. Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah chapter 56 says, I will give you a name better than the name of sons and daughters. An eternal name. Praise God. That is the name we get when we marry Christ. When we are married to Christ. It's an eternal name that cannot be rubbed off or, you know, cancelled forever. That is the name of the Lord. We inherit the name of what? Of the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course, when you marry, normally it is the husband who provides for the woman. Isn't it? It's the husband who takes care of the woman. Hallelujah. And normally everything that the husband has becomes the woman's also. So now this, we're not talking of the type of marriages we have in this world today. Marriages where, you know, they kind of sign agreements. You know, most of these people nowadays, when they marry, before they marry, they sign agreements that in case of a divorce or separation, my property or my money is my money, and her money is her money. They have that kind of clause these days, but that kind of clause is not seen in God's kingdom. Because if you are married to the Lord, everything that the Lord has is yours. We're talking of the totality of God's glory. It's yours. The totality of God's power is yours. Everything that is the Father's is yours. Everything that is God's is yours. Jesus Christ says, all that the Father has is what? Is mine. All that the Father has are mine. Now, why Jesus Christ would say this? Because Jesus Christ was married to God. Hallelujah. So we are being called back to enter into this marriage. Hallelujah. All the sacrifice on the cross, all the mysteries we are hearing today, all these deep things we hear from the Spirit today, is to present us blameless, without blemish. Hallelujah. For that marriage unto the Lamb. That's all that God intends. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. Or rather verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. You can see here that Paul always talks about natural first. He talks about the parable first, which is the natural. Then that goes into the real one, which is the Spirit. Sees. Let's go back again. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. So men ought to love their wives as their own body, as their own bodies. Hallelujah. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now let's stop there. Praise God. Now you can see Paul here talking about how that the Lord has given us the water of the word today. We have the word today which comes like revelation. The mystery of Christ is coming today to us to purify us and to present us blameless, without blemish, so that we are married back unto Christ. Of course, without blemish, without stain of the flesh. Because flesh cannot marry spirit. So that's why there is a word coming forth right now, purifying us, washing the fleshy stained garments, which is the consciousness. Your garments cover you, isn't it? It's your consciousness. Your garment is your what? It's your consciousness. See, we've been working with garments stained with flesh, dirty garments stained with flesh. See, but right now he wants to make the garments white as snow. That's why when our sister saw the vision, he saw a white garment, isn't it? White, stainless, sparkling garments of wedding garments. See, when you see in the world today a bride wearing the white garments going for marriage, what do you think she's doing? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? These are concepts that come from the Spirit. Because I'm sure that 90% or say 80% of the ladies who get married today with white garments, most of them are no longer virgins. It's hard to get virgins these days in this world. Praise God. But spiritually speaking, those who are married to Christ have to be virgins, meaning that they have separated themselves from this world. They've washed themselves from the fleshy carnal mind. Hallelujah. And they've not put on the white stainless garments, which is Christ consciousness. These are spiritually minded people. Totally spiritually minded people. No more carnally minded. But what? Spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now Paul talks also here that the husband should love the wife as his own body. Praise God. Now you see, he's speaking here first of all a parable, causing us to see and to understand the fact that we are one body with Christ. Mark it. So even though some men walk ignorantly of this truth, it's simply for a moment. It's simply because their minds have been darkened for a moment. But I tell you the truth, we all are one spirit with what? With the Lord. Hallelujah. We are the Lord's body. Husband, love your wife as your own body. Because what? We are the Lord's body. And there's no man that can hate his own body. Hallelujah. And neither can you hate the other brother out there, because we are all one body. You can't hate the sister out there, because we are all one body. Hallelujah. Watch your eyes, brethren. Put on your mind, your eyes. Let the eyes of your understanding be illumined and begin to see and comprehend this great mystery of our oneness with the Lord. Begin to understand and comprehend this great mystery of that eternal union we have with the Lord of glory. Oh, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? We are one body with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hell, death, rebellion, sin consciousness. Nothing can what separate us from the love of God. Of course you suffer. You go through all kind of pains and hurts and destruction and hell when you are ignorant of this union with the Lord. But it cannot stop the Lord from what? From loving you. Hallelujah. It cannot stop the Lord from seeing you as his own body, because we are what? One body with the Lord. It never changed. Hallelujah. Of course, it might change your mind, your comprehension for a moment. See, but the marriage, the mystery of this marriage is here to cause the two to become one again. Consciously, because they are already one. Revelation is coming right now to break and destroy the wall of separation that has separated us from Christ. Now these are the most precious truths that a man can ever know. There's no greater thing. There's no greater thing than to know that we are one with the Lord. We are the Lord's body. Praise God. If any man can consciously realize this oneness, he will also discover the paradise of God. He will also discover the Garden of Eden. He will also discover that brook bubbling with fountains of living water. He will discover the joy of his salvation. He will discover true liberty. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. You are free from a corruptible nature. You are free from sin. Hallelujah. See, you know, sin also is just an illusion. Praise God. When you get back into this union, you will discover that you are free, that you are not a sinner. That no one condemns you. No one is after you. That all things are yours. And you can rule and reign with the alpha power of God. Hallelujah. No wonder in the book of Revelations, Revelation chapter 19 verse 1, it says, after this I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous, Hallelujah, are your judgments. Praise God. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of her servants. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. And again they said, Hallelujah. And a smoke arose up forever and ever. Hallelujah. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye saints, and ye that fear his name, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Hallelujah. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they that are what? Called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the saints of God. Now let's stop there. You can see what the Bible is talking here. See, the omnipotent power of God, the glory of God has come, because the marriage supper of the Lamb is here. The great hall of Babylon is judged, destroyed in the lake of fire, destroyed and consumed by the fire of God's revelation. She's the one that corrupted the men of this world so that they committed fornication. See, when you walk in the flesh, you are committing fornication. When you walk married in the flesh consciousness, that is fornication. Hallelujah. And the whole world today is just simply one entity in fornication, separate from God. Praise God. But you see, the power and the glory of God is restored to us as Babylon is destroyed, as we are released from that hold that we had in this world, that union that we had in this world, and as we unite ourselves once more with the Lamb in marriage. We marry the Lamb in marriage, consciousness. Hallelujah. We are robed in white garments of light, the righteousness of the saints, Christ consciousness, without spot and without blemish, purged and purified by the blood of the Lamb and by the water of the word. Hallelujah. These words are true. These words are real. This is the mind that God wants every man to seek and look forward to. He says, blessed are those who are what? Invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you hear the invitation today? Can you see the invitation? Hallelujah. Let us be attentive men. Let us listen, men. Let us not be carried away with the many, many, many vices of men, the many, many distractions of this world. But let us come in freely and partake of this marriage with the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us be like the wise virgins. You know the parable of the wise virgins? There were 10 of them. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Let us be like the wise virgin, not like the foolish ones. Praise God. The wise ones had their lamps burning. They had their lamps burning, and for this reason they could enter in through the door into the marriage chamber. See, that is, they were translated. You know what I mean? When you pass through the door, you are passing through the door from the natural into the spiritual. That's translation. From outer darkness into what? Inner light. That's translation. Why? Because they have the oil. The oil is the word. Is the word. These ones kept their lights burning in the revelation of Christ. They kept themselves in fellowship with the Spirit. And what? They were translated. These ones continue on in fellowship. And you know, when you fellowship with the Lord, you are conformed. You are transformed into that same image. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in his glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from what? Glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Are you listening? The wise virgins were there in fellowship with the light, with the oil, continuity in the fellowship, beholding the image of the Lord. And these ones in due season were translated. They found the entrance into the door. They went to the other side of midnight, into the day, into the light, into the marriage. They were caught up and married to the Spirit of God. But the foolish virgins represent those who represent the one who does not allow Christ, the Spirit, bring him in to Christ. And that's why we are all admonished not to be slothful. We are admonished to try to keep the fire burning. Try to continue on in fellowship. Praise God. Not many deceive. You know, nothing around you will encourage you. You know that? Nothing around you will encourage you in your fellowship with God. Nothing around you will encourage you in your fellowship with God. So you must be focused. You must be strong. Be strong. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let us be like the wise virgin who have their oil and their lamps burning. Who have the oil supply in continuous fellowshipping and letting the understanding of Christ in them increase. Hallelujah. So that that everlasting door into God's kingdom is never shut upon our door, on our face. Hallelujah. The virgins are married to Christ. They are married to the Spirit. They become Spirit. They are free, free. The Italians will say libero. Free. Free from sin. Free from death. Hallelujah. When you are free from sin and free from death, no more condemnation, you discover the Alpha power restored back to you. You discover the joy of your salvation. You discover that all things are yours. You will rule and reign in pleasures and in life forever. Praise God. So we are seeing here, marriage is coming to us once more as a mystery. Praise God. Reminding us of our union with Christ. We are one spirit. The Lord's body, we are the Lord's body. The Lord is our head. The Lord is our life. Praise God. When we walk as men in carnality, that is separation from the Spirit. That is what they call fornication. But now the revelation of Christ has come to lift us out of this realm of the dead, back into that union in fellowship. Hallelujah. This is the way a man can be free. Realizing this union with the Lord. You overcome death. You overcome the sorrows and the pains and all that this world has to offer. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I glorify you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father, King of glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name. O King of glory. Glory be to your name. We worship you. O mighty God. There is none like you. Who's like unto that? To you, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. Hallelujah. A door has been opened in the spirit. And the Lord is inviting his people to enter in to fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed are those who are invited to this marriage supper. Blessed are those who can hear the call, the cry of the bridegroom in this hour, calling the bride to enter in. Because they will enter in into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let your word go forth to illuminate and to heal your people. Blessed be your name, O Father. Amen. The Lord showed you some, my sister here, a vision or some visions. You want to share them with the brethren? 1 minute.
Praise the Lord. As we're concluding the prayer, the Lord showed me a waterfall. A waterfall, you know, not, you know, there are some that comes like spring. This is a waterfall like the very, very strong water coming from the top to the bottom. At the same time, I saw a cloud. The one that I caught in a cloud within the waterfalls. This is what the Lord revealed to me. Praise the Lord.
Amen. She saw a very, you know, powerful waterfall with strong torrents of water and a cloud. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is the flow of the Spirit of God, the power of God, the dunamis of God. God wants us to be a partakers of that flow of life. Hallelujah. And she also saw the cloud, because all that talks of spirit. See, the cloud represents the Lord's body. It represents our union in the Lord. Praise God. See that the Lord is showing us these visions to confirm his word. Hallelujah. To confirm these words that we hear. You know, some of us don't believe in visions anymore. Some people don't believe in gifts anymore. But I tell you, gifts are still functioning in the body of Christ. See, it's just that the gifts are supposed to be used to edify the church unto the perfection that the Lord desires of us, not for profit. Hallelujah. So we thank God for all of this. May you be blessed, brethren. Amen.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall, the gate began to rattle, voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. The air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before him with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet. As I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide.